Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Hello, boys and girls. Well, this is Aunt Jill's Bedtime Stories, and I know it does not feel like it is time to go to bed because the sun is still out. But the clock is still working, and this has been so exciting. We're so thrilled that you're with us. This is a time that children, kids, get to be what they want to be. And we have a song for that, just in case you're not sure of all the things that you might want to be. Here we go.
Tell me what you want to be when you get older.
Fashion designer.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be one of the best singers.
I want to be a modeler.
I want to be a songman.
I want to be a running singer.
I want to be an
actress
producer.
I want to be a model.
You're excited because it must be Sunday because it is time for Aunt Jill's Bedtime Stories. And what we're going to do is get you to bed. Now, I know that some of you are big and some of you are small. And there's mommies and daddies and grandma and nana and grandpa, puppy, aunts and uncles, and people who just care. Now, I want to thank you again for letting us be in your living room or your bedroom or maybe even on your deck because it is a hot summer day. And we want to thank you for letting us be your fun in retiring the sun. Uh-oh, boys and girls, I hear that some kids are already out. What are you doing? Oh, wow, boys and girls, are you coming in? It's time to come in. I know that when you see the sun out, it is kind of confusing. Do I come in and do I take my bath? And do I get ready for bed and have my favorite fun story tell or reading some of the books or listening to them? So confusing. Not really quite sure. What do I do? Well, I know that some of you boys and girls out there knew exactly what to do because your eyes, if you were just like me, were glued to the table, TV, to be able to see some kids that were just like you, just like we said in the song before. What do you want to be? All of these little kids from the Jackie Robinson West, they want to be a baseball player. And also our team from Seoul also want to do that. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, these children were able to do it before they grew up, but that's what they want to be when they get older. What is it that you want to do? Think about it. What do I want to do? Well, I think I know one thing that I know that your mommy and daddy and grandpa, babysitters, might want to do first is they want to make sure that you get in that bathtub. So let's play that song that we love to hear by the Cedarmont Kids to get you in the mood to get in the bathtub and hear Rubber Ducky. Here it goes.
Here I am in the bathtub again. I got my soap. I got my Superman scrub brush. I got my loofah. I got my shampoo. I got my washcloth. And I got a big old fluffy towel to dry myself when I get out. You know what else I got to make bathtub time the best time of my day? I bet you know what it is. I bet you got one too. It's my special pal.
I do.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you. Bo-bo-bo-dee-o. Rubber ducky, joy of joy. When I squeeze you, you make noise. Rubber ducky, you're my very best friend, it's true. Every day when I make my way to the tubby,
boys and girls, are you ready to get in the bathtub with the rubber ducky? Maybe you might not be quite ready to go now and going, oh, Mom, do I have to get ready now? I want to have something to drink. I want to go get my favorite toys. All kinds of things that are what grown-ups might call excuses. But one excuse that we do not have to give, and that is to the World Series Little League baseball game. Can you imagine? Kids just like you and your sister, kids just like how your parents were before they became grown-ups. They were able to be on television and everyone saw them. And we're rooting for them. And we want to say congratulations to Seoul, because they're representing the Asian Pacific team. And they did a fabulous job. The score was 8-4. Look at all those hits. Look at all those runs. And we cannot forget. Oh, but before we move on, they've been the champions for the World Series 11-0. So they're an excellent, excellent team. But we also have a great team, too, and that was the Jackie Robinson West team. They came from Chicago, and they did a fabulous job. They got all the way there, and they almost came back. And the score was 8-4. So, boys and girls, we saw some great teamwork and pulling for each other, and the parents there, and the whole country was watching. It was great. One of the things that was so important is they had a great sports attitude. They were encouraging each other, just like I know that you do with your friends and your brothers and sisters and what your parents do to you. So we think so much that it was a very fun time. So much fun that we want to be able to play a song that talks about going to the bathtub, but it uses a theme song that I think that you probably even know. Here we go. It's Take Me Out of the Bathtub, because we already talked about getting in, but how do you get out? Now, this is by Alan Katz.
Take me out of the bathtub. Take me out of the suds. I've been here soaking since 2:30. I feel so sudsy and wrinkly too. Oh, I washed all over my body, my head, my toes in between. I used 1, 2, 3 bars of soap. Take me out, I'm clean. me out of the bathtub. I'm stuck here with my toys. Dump trucks and squirters I think are great, but I better take off my roller skates, 'cause each time I get up I wobble. I hold on, but it's a pain. I tried once, twice, three times to stand, better get a train.
Boys and girls, wasn't that funny? And we have so many fun songs and so many fun books today so that we make bedtime fun. It's not only just fun for you, but it's fun for your parents too. So get those favorite PJs out and don't forget the slippers. And we also know that we have to have Brownie there because it wouldn't be any fun without having him in bed with us. We found him. We were so glad that Cinnamon was with us. Cinnamon said, "Where are they going to find me?" But we found him. So one of the things that is going to happen is some of you are going to go to camp. And those camp time things are really a lot of fun because you do make a lot of friends. And you're able to exchange names. And when you see their mommy or daddy, you can be able to say, "Let us get together. We would like to do it beside class time." Well, I know one great place to be able to go, and that's the baseball park. And now that we know that there's also Little League baseball park, you can go to them too. Well, this book is about what kind of babysitter is this? Have you ever had a babysitter, boys and girls? Was it exactly what you thought it would be? Well, this book is by Dolores Johnson. And it's by Macmillan Publishing Company. And it's illustrated by Dolores Johnson. She wrote the book and also did all the drawings. Get ready. Now, Kevin's mother was getting all dressed up to go out, and then the doorbell rang. "Not another babysitter," cried Kevin. "You said you'd take me with you your next time." Said that to your mommy or daddy when they left you with the babysitter? Or with Nana? "Well, if you leave me tonight, I'm not going to be your friend." Uh-oh. Someone's kind of developing a little way of thinking. Kevin said his mother, "This is Mrs. Lovely Pritchett. She'll take care of you while I'm away at school." Take a look at that face, that sweet little face of the babysitter. "You can call me Aunt Lovey, Sugar Dumpling." "Mom, take me with you," yelled Kevin. "So you're the little boy who doesn't like babysitters," said Aunt Lovey. "Well, we're going to have some fun together." Boys and girls, I wonder what she's going to do. "Mom, don't leave me here with her, please," yelled Kevin. "Don't you worry about us, little mother," said the babysitter. "Kevin and I will be just fine." "Well, I'm leaving too," said Kevin, as he stormed through the kitchen out to the back porch. "That old lady will never miss me. She'll be busy doing what babysitters do, painting her toenails, talking on the telephone, or even doing the computer and eating the good stuff in the refrigerator. Hey, she better not eat that last piece of cake." I'm not so sure that Kevin likes having this babysitter. Or maybe he just doesn't want any babysitter. Well, Kevin sneaks back into the kitchen. "Isn't she gonna come after me? Is that lady so dumb she doesn't even know I'm gone?" Well, boys and girls, do you think that she forgot him? So, let's see. Now, from his hiding place, Kevin heard the click of a switch and then the roar of a television. So that's what she's doing. She's going to watch her soap opera. And my mom is paying her $1 zillion to watch me. Aunt Lovey started yelling, jumping up and down and clapping. She's watching my baseball game. My mom wouldn't even watch it. What kind of babysitter is this? She's supposed to be yelling at me. Uh-oh, what does that mean, boys and girls? Did she like something I think that Kevin likes too? Well, the babysitter started pulling things from her handbag. He put on a baseball cap on her head. And she laid out some baseball cards on the couch, and she waved a pennant in the air. I wish she would put that pennant down, said Kevin. I can hardly see. And it's a badger pennant, continued Kevin. That proves it. She doesn't know anything about baseball. Everybody knows that the Badgers can't win. Well, when the ball came in and the Badgers had won, Aunt Lovey turned off the television set. She was so busy pulling things out of her purse, it seemed she never even noticed Kevin. Oh, no, said Kevin. Here it comes. Now her telephone numbers, her nail polish, those kissy-kissy books, and that babysitter read. Lovey pulled out a book about baseball. Baseball? Opened it and began to read softly. I wish you would speak up, said Kevin. I can hardly hear. Uh-oh. Could it be, boys and girls? Could it be that she has an audience that's listening? Well, so Kevin crawled closer, and Aunt Lovey read louder, and they read and played games, and they told jokes, and they laughed so much that they didn't even notice when Kevin's mother came home. Now that's a babysitter, boys and girls, that you don't even miss your mom or dad yet. Are you still angry with me, sweetheart? Kevin's mother asked when she came in. I really hate to leave you. But of course, there'll be other times when I'll have to go out. Well, that's okay. That's all right, Mom. I got a great idea, said Kevin. Can Aunt Lovey move in and with us? We can make her bed on the couch, or she could share her bedroom with you. This can be her dream, too. Boys and girls, do we think that somebody changed their mind? But Kevin, said his mother, Aunt Lovey has her own home, and babysitters don't stay over. Mom, you don't understand. Aunt Lovey, no babysitter. She's my friend. Boys and girls, she's his friend. Do you know what it means when you have a friend? I'm not sure. Well, a person named James Taylor sang a song and it's called You Have a Friend. And maybe, boys and girls, when you go to camp, or maybe going to a babysitter, or maybe going to day camp, you might have an opportunity or you might get a chance to make friends. Let's hear what James Taylor said when you've got a friend.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going. Close your eyes and soon I lighting up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, babe, see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be.
Have a friend that you can call him by name, then you know you've got a friend because you took the time to ask them what their name was and they took the time to tell you. And of course, when that happens, you can't wait to tell your friend everything that you do. You want to share your meals with them. You want them to come over. You want them to do all kinds of things together. And that's what happens when you go to sleepaway camp or even to stay camp. It's so much fun because you get an opportunity to make friends. Well, we know that the reason why you are here with us today is for bedtime stories. You want to hear a story, and we want to make sure you hear a story. Now, this is a story about the Frog Prince. Now, boys and girls, do you know what a Frog Prince is? Do you have a clue? A Frog Prince. Would that be a girl with a Frog Prince? Would that be a dog? Is it just like a Frog Prince? Yes, you got it right, Eddie. It is a frog prince, which goes, and it sits on a lily pad. Well, this is a story, and it is one of those stories that's been retold so many centuries and generations before you, and it will be other generations after you. Well, this story goes like this. Once there was a princess who had a beautiful golden ball. It had been given to her when she was a little girl, and although she had longed for outgrown toys, she still liked to throw the ball high into the air and catch it. And I bet you have a favorite teddy bear. I know that we have a favorite dog, and this little girl named Shauna, who grew up in college, and she calls them Cinnamon, and she still has them to this day. And she loves them so much. And it's a little warm. We're kind of getting away from our story. Now, this has been a great story, and it's been by Blake Radio Network. We thank you so much for joining us. So let's get back. So one bright, sunny day, the morning, during a walk in the castle garden, she threw her ball high, but it fell into a well. It sank to the bottom before she could reach it. The princess sobbed, for she thought her ball was lost forever. She peered down into the dark well, but it was so deep, she couldn't see the problem. That happened to you, boys and girls, when you've had a toy, and it was your favorite toy, and you couldn't find it, and you know that it would probably be lonely if you don't find it. So let's continue. Well, as the frog poked his head out of the water and said, "Why are you sobbing, my friend?" The princess said, Oh, Frog, if you could toss my ball to me, I would give you anything you ask for.
Would you welcome me into your house and let me eat from your plate?
Asked the frog.
Would you let me sleep on your clean pillowcase? Oh, my goodness. Boys and girls, this frog is starting to negotiate with the prince.
I would surely welcome you into my house and offer you food from my plate and smooth the pillowcase for you to rest on if you would only find my golden ball for me. Obviously, this golden ball means a lot to her. And I know, boys and girls, that happens to you, that you have something that's your favorite and you don't want to give it up. Well, the frog said,
well then, I'll do what I can if you dive deep down into the water and soon reappear with the golden ball
balancing on his head. But as soon as the frog hopped to the edge of the whale, the princess snatched the golden ball, and with a cry of delight, she ran all the way back to the castle, leaving the frog behind.
Boys and girls, what kind of thing do you think happened? And why did she run? And did she say anything to the frog? And do you think she should have said something? So let's get back to the story.
That evening, the princess was eating supper with the king and queen when she heard a sound at the door. A kind of splashy knocking.
That is, boys and girls.
Who is it? Called the king.
It is I, a humble frog, said the voice. The princess promised to welcome you into her home.
Never, yelled the princess. Nasty, ugly, old frog.
My dear, said the father, did you promise the frog you could come to call? In exchange for finding her golden ball, called the frog behind the outside door.
Then, my dear, keep your word, called the frog, said the king.
The king and queen went and opened the door. In hopped the frog, looking around with interest.
Quite a nice castle, he said.
What's for supper? I don't think he has quite the manners that he should. Don't you agree, boys and girls?
You can't eat here, yelled the princess.
But you promised me food from your plate, said the frog. My darling, if you promise, said the queen, you must keep your word. I insist. Have some food from my plate, said the princess, in a voice that sounded rather rude.
You can eat from my plate.
Well, the frog jumped into the table and sampled a bit of everything, smacked his froggy lips.
Isn't that kind of weird to do, especially at the table?
Now I'm tired, he said when he finished his meal. It's time to be carried to your bed, so I may sleep on your pillowcase just as you promised.
I refuse. It cannot be, shouted the princess.
If you promise, sweet daughter, said the king and queen together, you must keep your word. The prince shuddered with disgust. But she picked up the frog and carried him to her bedroom, where she sat down to the pillowcase, and he slept very comfortably all night long. Well, in the morning, he hopped away, but he returned in the evening for a second night, and again a third. Each time, the princess kept her promise by opening the door to him, letting him eat from her pillow, and sleep on her bed.
Oh, are you getting sleepy, boys and girls?
Well, on the morning after the third night, the princess opened her eyes to see that the frog was gone. But standing next to her bed was a handsome young man who said,
good morning, princess. I am a prince who hopped to your side for the last 3 years as a humble frog. I have been freed from the spell cast upon me, a wicked witch, because she kept your promise. It would give me greatest pleasure if you would agree to be my wife, for I have grown to love and admire a princess
who keeps her word, even to the lowly cross. The startled princess ran to tell her parents about the prince. The king and queen met him, liked him, and gave their blessing on the marriage at once. The prince and the princess were married at the wedding feast. All the guests played with the golden ball, and they had brought the prince and princess again together. Boys and girls, isn't that some story? My word, starting to get us a little sleepy? Well, I hear some of you out there just starting to yawn.
Hey mate, you know why you go to bed at night? Because your bed won't come to you. Well, let's just sleep on it, shall we? I can't stop yawning, evening or morning. Once I start, I can't stop it. There's no one who can top it. I just open my mouth and drop it. I can't stop yawning. The music I make does not keep me awake. And I can't stop yawning.
Boys and girls, that just because you're yawning, people think that you're getting tired and sleepy. And we know that can't be the case because you are wide awake. You still don't feel like you need to go to sleep because those eyes aren't quite droopy. And that kind of happened with Mark. He just couldn't go to sleep. Mark was a very friendly little friend. And he was not ready to go to bed. So what we're going to do is maybe read enough stories. I know it's not going to get you to sleep, but it might be kind of nice to listen to it because you're not sleepy yet. Well, isn't it nice that the yawning thing? Well, this book is called Mark the Sleepy, and it's by Gabrielle.
As soon as the fire burns red and low, and the house upstairs is still, she sings me a strange little sleepy song of sheep that go over the
hill. Well, boys and girls, I know that it is really, this song is not getting you sleepy, so let's continue reading this song, the book. Now, Mark wanted to go to sleep. Really, he did, but he couldn't. He just couldn't sleep. He called out for his mom. "I'm afraid a giant mosquito will fly in and bite me," he said. "Don't worry, little one," his mother answered. "I'll fix that, and soon you'll be sound asleep." She made him a special pair of mosquito-proof pajamas, complete with a helmet, a sword for protecting himself, and a buzz repellent. A repellent teddy bear. And then she left. Then Mark called out for his mom again. "Mom, I'm afraid I'm falling out of the bed," he told her. "Well, don't worry, my love," his mom answered. "I'll fix that, and you'll soon drift off to sleep." He gave her a mountain climbing rope, secured it to his pillow with an anchor, and slipped the parachute over his back, and then she left. Of course, Mark pulled the pajamas up just a little bit higher, just enough that his eyes could be able to see what was going on. Now, shortly afterwards, Mark called out once more. "What if the moon melts and the world goes dark?" he asked. "Well, don't worry, honey," his mom answered. "I'll fix that. And as soon you'll fall fast asleep," she gave him a pair of glasses with glow in the dark lenses and sent a letter to the moon. The letter said, "Moon, don't even think about doing anything silly like melting or something like that." And then she left. Did the moon ever talk to you, Poison Girl? Well, a few minutes later, Mark called out yet again, "I'm afraid a mean wind will blow on my face and I'll catch cold," he told his mom. "Don't worry, darling," his mom answered. "I'll fix that, and you'll fall asleep so easily." Well, she hung a sign at the front of the door, and the house said, "Mean wind. We took the wrong road. Get yourself a map." She covered Mark with 10 goose feathers and a real-life duck. Then she left. Mom, finally, Mark called to his mom one last time. "I think I'm afraid of everything," he said. "Don't worry, sweetheart," answered his mom. "I'll fix all of that, and you'll sleep soundly through the night." She began running around the house. She closed the door, window, suitcase, and notebook. She scared away all the monsters and the witches, and even scared away the dentist and all the relatives. She invented a special stick for fighting off nightmares, an invisible trap for catching ghosts. And even though it wasn't really necessary, she went up to the roof to keep watch, just in case. But suddenly, she heard Mark's voice. "I'm still scared." Now, Mark's mom, exhausted from trying to find the right solution, came down from the roof. She took off Mark's mosquito roof-proof armor, and she unfastened his mountain climbing equipment. She ripped up the letter to the moon and the mean wind. She sent the duck off having a bath. She took away the traps and the stick. And then finally she sat down on her son's bed. She ruffled his hair and said, "My dear, I really don't know what else I can do to help you stop feeling so afraid. I think I'll just have to sit here next to you, and you can tell me everything." Smiling and yawning at the same time, Mark took his mom's hand and whispered, "I'll tell you later. I'm much too tired." Mark wanted to stay awake. Really, he did, but he couldn't. He just couldn't stay awake. The end. Boys and girls, have you ever tried to fight going to sleep? I know the boys and girls that are listening to me, they never fall asleep. They just listen. And when they listen, they have their eyes wide open, and they want to hear every word that Mama Dad, even voices coming out of their mouth. We couldn't possibly be sleeping. No, not at all. I'm not sleeping. Are you, boys and girls? Are you starting to fall asleep? I don't think so. Your eyes look pretty wide awake for me. I'm not sure that you are letting your eyelids meet the bottom of your eyes. It's not going to happen here because you are too strong and you are not ready to go to bed yet. So, what can we? I'm not Sure, boys and girls. Maybe should we listen to another song? Or maybe we should be able to read another book. I'm not trying to whisper because I know not everyone is going to sleep. I know that's not you. It couldn't be. No, that's not. That's not Sarah. She never goes to sleep early. She always stays wide awake to make sure that nothing comes to get her. Happen. Not tonight, not today, not when we still have so much time to do something together. It can't possibly be. Boys and girls, it could be somebody that you know that's trying to keep you wide awake. I don't think so. Could it be your friend that you went to camp with? I don't think so. Could it be your cousin? Because they think maybe it's not time to start imagining. I know that a lot of kids who were playing in the World Series Little League games were thinking about what could they be? What could they want to be? Is it so real in their mind when they went out on the field? Well, Michelle Griffin did a song called I Can Only Imagine. And of course, this is by Aunt Jill's Bedtime Stories. And we want to thank you so much for being with us. Here it is. I can only imagine. Thank you, Karen, for bringing your little
I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Do you imagine? Do you see it?
Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Surrounded by your glory.
I think what happened. And it did. Oh, can you imagine?
To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Thank you for coming to Blake Radio Network.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do.
You already know that Papa's already falling off to sleep and his spectacles and his glasses are on.
Mm-hmm.